Welcome to the PSPA podcast. I'm Helen Chapman, PSPA's Communication Manager, and today we will be discussing accessing financial support. We understand the impact of a diagnosis of PSP or CBD is wide-ranging, from impacting your emotions, physical practicalities, and your finances, particularly as the conditions progress. To help support you in accessing the financial support available to you so you can live the best life possible with PSP or CBD, today we will be discussing what benefits and entitlements you can access and how. Peggy Newton, PSPA's Helpline and Support Services Manager, is here to talk us through the different funding you can apply for and how our helpline can help. Welcome, Peggy.
Hello, Helen.
So, Peggy, you joined PSPA in October, leading our helpline team as they support more than 5,000 families every year. Financial support is a big topic. What are the main questions people contacting the helpline have around this subject?
So the most common questions we hear are about what's available and how to access it. A diagnosis of PSP or CBD can feel overwhelming, and people often tell us they don't know what financial help exists, what they might be entitled to, or how to apply. We're also asked a lot about benefit eligibility, so particularly whether someone should be applying for things like personal independent payments or attendance allowance, and how the application process works. Many people worry about getting forms wrong or being turned down. So another big area is planning ahead. People want to understand what support might become available as their needs change. So that includes help for carers, support with equipment or home adaptations, how to access care in the home, and help managing rising household costs. Our role on the helpline is to talk these things through step by step and tailor that advice to each individual's situation.
That must be really reassuring for people listening to hear, because you know there is so much to think about in terms of accessing financial support, different eligibilities for different benefits and entitlements. So I am glad you're here today to help provide information and myth bust a bit. So anyone who is either newly diagnosed or planning ahead for the changes to come, could you summarise the main financial support that is available, please?
Of course, it can feel really complex. And while the names of the benefits and services can vary slightly across England, Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland, the types of support available are broadly similar. So for people of working age, personal independent payment, which is also known as PIP, for short, PIP, is the main disability benefit in England, Wales and Northern Ireland. In Scotland, this has been replaced by adult disability payment, which is delivered by Social Security Scotland. For people over state age, pension age, attendance allowance, also known as AA, is available across England, Wales and Northern Ireland. While in Scotland, this is gradually being replaced by pension age disability payment. There may also be support through universal credit, employment and support allowance, or equivalent benefits, depending on someone's work and income situation. And there's also support for carers, such as carers allowance or carer support payment in Scotland, which may be available. Beyond benefits, there is help with housing costs, council tax rates, energy bills, transport, and equipment or home adaptations. So our helpline supports people across all four nations to understand what applies to them locally and what they may be eligible for and how they can apply for it.
Just picking up on a quick point there, you mentioned attendance allowance. So we know that we've different types of benefits and entitlements, like some are means tested and some aren't. Is attendance allowance means tested? And if you receive it, would it affect how you are taxed?
No, so both personal independent payments and attendance allowance are tax-free benefits and they're non-means tested, which means your eligibility for them is not calculated on your income.
That is really good to know because it can be a bit of worry if obviously everyone tries to plan and save for the future, but having certain amounts of savings can actually affect you applying for certain benefits. So just honing in on PIP or personal independence payments, if anyone is Googling what support is available to them, what are the criteria for PIP? Could you explain what the eligibility is, please?
Yeah, so it's really important to say that whether it's PIP or adult disability payment in Scotland, eligibility is based on how a condition affects daily life, not the diagnosis itself. So symptoms change for people over time, and it really does make a difference on what those symptoms are as opposed to the diagnosis. So, for PIP in England, Wales, and Northern Ireland, someone usually needs to be between 16 and state age pension to be eligible. And they would have difficulties with daily living or mobility for at least 3 months previous to their application, with those difficulties expected to continue for at least 9 months as well. The assessment focuses on things like managing personal care, preparing food, communicating, moving around safely, and planning journeys. So with PSP and CBD, symptoms can fluctuate. So it's really important that applications describe the bad days as well as better days and explain the help that's needed, even if that help isn't always available. It's important to put it down. Adult disability payment in Scotland follows a similar approach, but it's often described as being more person-centred with a stronger emphasis on supporting evidence and fewer face-to-face assessments than PIP. For PSP and CBD, where symptoms can fluctuate and progress over time, it's important to describe the help that's needed on the difficult days, even as I said, when that support isn't available. And this is something we can help people think about on the helpline by talking through the criteria and supporting people to present their situation as clearly and accurately as they possibly can.
That's good to know. So with PIP and the equivalent in Scotland, to apply it's a mixture of an application form and then some face-to-face assessments.
It can be. It varies. Sometimes, when the supporting evidence is strong enough, then a face-to-face appointment isn't necessary. Sometimes those appointments can be done by phone, and sometimes there's no additional appointments needed.
That's good to know. So that's why maybe filling out the form and focusing on those bad days is so important then.
Yeah, really important. It's really important to answer each of the questions in full. Again, as I said, the helpline, call the helpline, and we can help you navigate your way through those questions and give you examples of how you can complete them in full. Sometimes it feels like it's repeated questions, but continue to fill out those answers as you had throughout the form with all the information you can possibly add to it.
And you sort of touched on this before, but so this is for people that are still working. So if you're not of working age, what support is available for people that have retired?
Yeah, so if someone is over state pension age, they wouldn't be able to apply for PIP or adult disability payment. In England, Scotland, and Northern Ireland, they would apply for attendance allowance. In Scotland, pension age disability payment, which is being introduced gradually. So these benefits are for people who need help with personal care or supervision due to illness or disability. Again, they're non-means tested and can make a real difference both financially and in terms of unlocking other support such as council tax reductions or additional benefit.
So another question around attendance allowance. If you're a carer and your loved one who's living with PSP and CBD, you've made an application for attendance allowance for them, are you still able to then apply for carer's allowance too? And if so, what is the criteria for this funding?
So, yes, in many cases, carer's allowance in England, Wales, and Northern Ireland, or carer support payment in Scotland, is for people who provide regular care to someone receiving a qualifying disability benefit. So, typically, a carer needs to provide at least 35 hours of care per week, and there are rules around earnings and other benefits. So this is a means-tested benefit, which means it does take your income and work hours into account. It's also important to be aware that a carer's benefit can sometimes affect the benefit of the person being cared for. So because of this, we always recommend that carers talk things through with the helpline so we can look at the full picture and make sure applying is the right option.
That's good to know. I think, it is such a complex area, isn't it? It is good to know that there's someone that you can kind of call up to talk through what different options are available for your individual circumstance. We've talked a little bit about some of the other entitlements that are available, such as the council tax reduction scheme. Winter fuel allowances. Another entitlement some people can apply for, but there's been some changes in the past 12 to 18 months. Can you explain these changes, please, and how they may impact people living with PSP and CBD?
Yes, so this is something that many people have questions about because of the changes. So changes to the winter fuel allowance means that eligibility is now more closely linked to certain benefits rather than them being automatically paid to everyone over state pension age. So some people with PSP or CBD may still qualify while others may not. However, across all four nations, there may be alternative support such as cold weather payments, warm home discount schemes or help through local councils or devolved government schemes. Because eligibility can vary on both benefits and location, we always encourage people to check what applies to where they live. And the helpline, again, can help with that.
So we've talked a lot about the kind of most commonly known support out there, the PIP, the attendance allowance, carers allowance, council tax reduction, and winter fuel allowance. Have we missed anything? Is there any other discounts that perhaps people can still apply for to help manage regular bills?
Yes, and these ones are the ones that are often overlooked. So, across the UK, many people could be eligible for council tax reductions or rates relief, depending on their circumstances and location. There are also energy, water, and broadband social tariffs, priority service registers, and disabled persons discounts that can help reduce regular outgoings. So, while the scheme may be administered differently in each nation, the underlying support is often similar. Even small savings can make a meaningful difference, and we regularly help people explore what discounts they might be entitled to. It's really important to look for these because they're often not, it's not clear, and the information's not readily available unless you go looking for it. So do ask, do contact the helpline and see what's available to you.
And to access some of these schemes, is it you directly ring up like your energy company, your broadband company, and ask for these specific kind of schemes that are sort of available but hidden?
Yes, absolutely. It's about contacting them, knowing what's available. Always ask if there's a discount if you're receiving benefits as well. So, for example, if you have to keep medication in a fridge or you have particular energy needs, so heating or medical electrical equipment, you can register with your energy supplier as emergency need, which means that they will prioritize your energy should there be a power cut. So yeah, it's really important to contact your energy supplier, broadband, water services, and see what's available for you.
Oh, good to know tips there. Thank you. We've talked a bit about, help for managing sort of big bills like council tax, your heating, broadband. But A lot of the time when people are living with PSP and CBD, they might have to buy in some equipment or adapt the house. Is there anything available that can help with these?
Yes, and this is particularly important as PSP and CBD progress. So, support for equipment and adaptations can often be provided through local authorities or health and social care services. And this applies across all four nations, though the process will differ slightly. So, in England, Wales, and Northern Ireland, disabled facilities grants can help fund major adaptations such as stair lifts or accessible bathrooms. In Scotland, similar support is available through local councils, often via grants or schemes linked to housing services. An occupational therapy assessment is usually the starting point, and smaller items of equipment can be provided directly. There may be charitable funding available to you locally, and PSPA can help signpost people to those options. And then there's continuing healthcare at home. So this is a really complex and lengthy process. So for today, I'm just going to give a brief overview on continuing healthcare at home, CHC, as it is known, but do contact the helpline should you want some more information on it. But CHC provides support for people who find it difficult to attend appointments or manage daily care. So this can include visits from GPs, community nurses, physiotherapists, occupational therapists, speech and language therapists and specialist nurses, and that's all delivered at the home. So anyone with ongoing health needs can request an assessment through the NHS, via their GP or local health and social care teams. Funding for clinical care is generally free through the NHS, whilst personal care may be means tested by local authorities. People with complex needs may qualify for NHS continuing healthcare in England, NHS continuing healthcare or free personal and nursing care in Wales. Then there's NHS continuing healthcare in Northern Ireland or continuing healthcare or adult disability payment support in Scotland. They can cover the full cost of care at home, or it might be that it part funds it. It's done on an individual basis. The PSPA helpline can guide families on what they might be titled to and how to access it locally.
So, as well as coming to the PSPA helpline for more information about benefits and entitlements, are there any tools out there that perhaps people can utilise if they want to do a little bit of digging and researching themselves before perhaps they make a call to the helpline?
Yeah, absolutely. So a good starting point is official sources such as gov.uk for England, NI Direct in Northern Ireland, and mygov.scot for Social Security Scotland. Gov.uk covers Wales as well. They're really useful official websites where you'll be able to find out all the different benefits that are available, what the eligibility criteria is, and it's through those websites that you can make that online application or request a form sent to you by post. There's also a website called Turn to Us, the word turn, number two, and then us. If you go onto that website, you can put in all of your income information, financial information. It's completely anonymous. You don't put in other personal details. And then you can put in your current situation, so health, your needs, and it will do a search and tell you what benefits or financial support you might be entitled to. And it will also tell you how you can make that application. On that website, there's also the Turn to Us Grants Checker. So you can go on there to again put in your information, and it will do a search on national and local grants or financial resources that you might be able to apply for as well. But like we said, the PSPA helpline is here, and our team can talk through your individual situation and help you understand all that information, what you might be titled to, and they'll be able to guide you through the next steps wherever you live in the UK.
Thanks for flagging that up. I've not heard of that website before. So, just to reiterate, it's called Turn to Us. We're not going to delve into this too much because it is a complex funding, as you mentioned, and it is best to be dealt with on kind of a one-to-one basis according to your situation. But just to give an idea, you've said you can sort of talk through the application process, but we can also provide sort things like supporting letters as well.
Yes, absolutely. We do that regularly on a day-to-day basis. We can provide supporting letters. We can also provide leaflets that explain the benefits system and process to you so that you can have that sent out to you by email or by post. We can also make a referral to DWP to have a visit from DWP to assist filling out those forms as well. So I really do urge anybody that wanting to know more about benefits or needing support to complete the benefits applications to contact the helpline for support.
Yeah, thank you. Well, before we wrap up this episode of the podcast, it would be important to mention that PSPA does offer some funding ourselves, the support grants. So they can provide up to £300 per year for either someone living with PSP or CBD or the carer to kind of help improve their quality of life. Could you give a little bit of information about support grants and also the types of things that we've awarded grants for, just to give people an idea of what they might be able to apply for?
Yes, PSPA does provide support grants. So we do provide up to £300 per year, as you said, Helen, to individuals living with or someone caring for someone with PSP or CBD. The purpose of the grant is to improve their quality of life. And it might be that we are able to fund something like a mobility aid, communication devices, hobby equipment, something that brings something positive to you. Applications must be submitted by a health and social care professional on behalf of the applicant. The support grant can be applied for via our online form from our website. So, yes, again, contact the helpline if you want further information about that.
Yeah, you mentioned about helping to kind of upkeep a hobby, and I know one of the grants I think we issued last year was around getting a specially adapted easel for someone's wheelchair so that they could maintain their hobby for painting, which I thought was a great idea. Well, thank you for joining us today, Peggy. I feel like it's probably tip of the iceberg in terms of the amount we could probably talk about in for funding and entitlements available. But just to reiterate what Peggy said all the way through, if you do want any more information, please do contact our helpline. You can contact them by telephone on 03 00 01 10 122, or you can email, and the email address is helpline@pspassociation.org.uk. And do check out our website as well. If you look at the resources pages, you will find some information sheets on benefits and entitlements, and also some guidance notes for that CHC funding too. Thank you.